Good evening, this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And we are finally into the love and giving and warming up month of December 2016. We have wonderful astrology for this month. We have Mars and Venus, both in the sign of Aquarius, which means that most of you are going to have a pretty loving and exciting time in December. However, we all know that this month brings with it its problems. One is the stress of the holiday Christmas. The other is the stress of just everyday living. And of course, we're all waiting to see what the Electoral College is going to do in the United States on the 20th of December. I have with me a wonderful man who has been gifted with being able to help us all lift stress. His weight is unique. As a matter of fact, it's very down to earth and exciting, and it works. That's the most important thing. Sometimes we don't know why it works, but it works. His name is Dick Summer. And what we're going to do tonight as your Christmas gift from Let's Find Out is allow you to call in with your first name and where you're calling from to ask Dick a question about your personal stress. And see what he can help guide you to do to lift it. And one of the most exciting things for me tonight is that we are having our meditation by Dick Summer from his wonderful album, Quiet Hands. And I'm sure he'll talk more about that later. The number to call in is 605-475-1600. No, I'm sorry, that's to hear the show. 605-475-1600 to listen. And to call in, it's 888-429-5471. Again, please call in and ask your question to Dick Summer. You'll recognize his voice immediately. He is very well known and very respected throughout the United States. 888-429-5471. Good evening, Dick. How are you?
That's an interesting question, Elizabeth. When people ask me that, generally speaking, what I tell them is I am semi-conscious.
Good.
But the reason for that is because...
You've got to put in the other world that you're not quite sure exists yet, right?
Well, I get exasperated when people say, have a nice day. I usually tell people, thank you, but I have other plans. You know, well...
I love that answer, especially when it gets people's attention.
And I love attention, Elizabeth. I was sitting here listening to you tell people how wonderful I am. And I just feel so good about that.
Well, you know what's funny, Dick? You and I met back in the early 80s, and you're still wonderful. So you must be doing something right.
Well... I am a member of the Louie Louie generation. Remember Louie Louie? I'm sorry, I was talking over you. Go ahead, say that again.
I said, besides flying that plane that I love, and you know my field was aviation, that was where I worked.
Yeah, airport. Well, I just gave my plane away.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It happens in life, doesn't it?
Well, there's an outfit called Wings of Hope. And among other things, what they do is feed hungry kids. And I've had my plane for a long time, probably about 30, 35 years. So, I figured it was time. Time comes along.
It does.
You got to take advantage of it when it comes along.
But at least you know that you're helping others in doing that.
Yeah, right. Sure.
So let's talk about quiet decisions that you started years ago. I mean, that's where I met you. And of course, the lessons and the classes have always stayed with me, as you know. So I'd like to talk about how you helped people with their stress and how you still are.
Well, thank you very much. It's a lovely introduction. I think what I try to do is to have people pay more attention to themselves. You know, we're in a world where, you know, everybody's banging on your door and tugging on your sleeve and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, Armageddon is going to happen, and watch out, the planet is going to fall apart.
I know, it's all fear.
I'm sorry?
Fear.
Yeah. And that's, first of all, it's just not that simple. I found that in my life, and check in yours, in my life, about half of what I expect to happen, either positive or negative, happens. So, you know, if you spend your time worrying about stuff that's going to happen, you know, half of what you're worrying about isn't going to happen.
You told me once, I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you said it to the class, but you said, why don't everybody just take a deep breath and remember all the thoughts that you've had over the last 2 days? Have they happened? If they would, you probably would be dead. So why don't we change those thoughts?
Yeah. I think you have to pay attention to yourself. You know,
right.
It's like I did a thing called Men Are Saints, Mass Appeal, MAS, Men Are Saints. And people kind of misunderstood me. See, I didn't say that women aren't saints. What I said are men are saints. And I gave some examples. For example, we just had Thanksgiving. All right. Now, I'm in Pennsylvania, so Thanksgiving is cold here. Now, where do men in cold Pennsylvania on Thanksgiving, where do we ask our women to spend the entire day? In the warmest room in the house, the kitchen. While we, in an amazing display of courage, I'm getting a strange look from my wife, but we throw ourselves in front of the deadly rays that emanate from the tube on television, you know, to keep you safe. Do we get credit for that? No. A beautiful woman walks down the beach wearing a tiny bikini, all right? Where do men look? The only place men look is on the parts that are covered.
That's true.
Men are saints. A beautiful woman walks into a crummy bar, and a guy invites her to the relative safety of his apartment. Does he get credit for that? No. You see, we're not looking at what's really going on.
Well, you know, there's a downside to that, too, because sometimes that can be dangerous. But, I do believe in the word cherish. What does that word sound like to you, the word cherish?
Cherish is one of the most beautiful words in the English language. English is a beautiful language. But cherish, there was a song called Cherish, you probably remember. Yeah,
It's going through my mind. It was from America Bandstand. Cherish is a word I use to describe all the things that are going on inside.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a beautiful word. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you?
Well, it means a feeling that I have inside, like the words of the song. And when I cherish something, for example, I just put the tree up today. And I didn't have enough energy to put all the decorations on. But tomorrow, when I do, I will cherish that because they hold so many wonderful memories of happiness from the past.
That's excellent. That's very good.
And it's like you cherish Barbara.
I do.
You cherish her because of all of your wife, because of all of the wonderful things you have shared.
And the tough things, too. I call her my girlfriend. There is something of a distinction sometimes between a wife and a girlfriend, you know, and a lot of times if you have both, you got a problem.
sometimes you have luck.
Well, so Barb is my girlfriend and I cherish her. You're right.
Right. And we cherish our parents and our grandparents if we could, or sometimes if we have parents that are not satisfactory, we'll cherish a teacher, or we'll cherish somebody who has been kind to us. Or maybe we'll cherish just a moment, Dick. Just a moment.
How about cherishing yourself? What kind of a person were you before you started telling yourself that you weren't so great? You know, there's that little voice inside. Well, there's that little voice inside, and it can be kind of tricky. You're trying to lose weight, and the little voice said, "Hey, yeah, that's just a little piece of candy," you know. Some lovely lady walks down the beach, and you know, it's you go to an office party, and problems can arise.
Sure.
So who were you? What were you before you started telling yourself you were a terrible guy? And I don't think you can put that into words. I have a problem with words, you know, because words...
Yeah, because you work more with emotions, and emotions can tell us our future.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And what I'm saying is I think people have to start thinking more about themselves than about other people and what's going on around them.
And you know, part of my work, Dick, is to help people go back to when they first had that feeling. I call it the moment of charge. Well, when did you first feel that way? Can you remember? Were you 3 years old? Were you seven? Did it happen in school? Did it happen through a friend? And then go back and relive it. Of course, that's the hypnosis that we do. And relive it and know that you're safe and you're watching a movie. And somehow, when you do that and you come out of that hypnotic sense, the fear is gone. We don't know why it's gone, but it's gone.
You know, one of the things that I like about what you do is you're very pragmatic. The point is not the technique. The point is, do you achieve what you're trying to achieve? And I think that's very, very important. So, we disagree on some things. I mean, you tend to be a lot more spiritual than I am. But,
right. And you're more energetic. It happens from the energy. It happens from an action. It happens from practicality, as you say.
Yeah. Well, right. But if you...
Who knows who's right? Nobody knows who's right.
Well, I think, you know, I have a feeling that what's right and wrong is very individual to everybody. And I think you know what's right. And as long as you do as much as you can, as close to how being right feels, I don't think there's any religious person who has a right to give you a hard time.
Oh, so, no, I don't either. But they do. Because they want you to believe their way because they're desperate. Usually they're coming from fear. Sometimes they're coming from experience. But usually they come from being bossy and wanting to be in control, and that's what's dangerous about it.
Yeah, well, I ignore them. So you know, they deserve some ignorance. It's like the other night I was watching TV, and this guy in the white lab coat comes on, and he says, "We figured out why men want to have sex with beautiful young women." And what he says is that we want beautiful young women as mates because they are the ones who are most likely to be healthy enough to see to it that our genes get where we want them to go. He stood there on live television, and he actually said that with a straight face. See, I think I can safely speak for a lot of guys when I say there may be other reasons. And I think one of those reasons has quite accurately been summed up in the words, "Yeah!" which translate roughly to, "Oh, thank God, does that ever feel good." So, you know, contrary to this new scientific theory, I'm here to tell you that shortly after I have experienced one of those "Eha" moments, I have prayed quite fervently to that same God, beseeching him to drown every one of those pesky little genes in their old little gene pools. And I think I can safely say that my girlfriend joined me in that fervent prayer on more than one occasion.
Oh, you were too wrapped up in each other. Anyway, you have a call from Arlene, and she's from New York.
Oh, good.
Your stomping ground. So let's speak with Arlene. Hello, Arlene. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out.
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you tonight?
I am semi-conscious, Arlene. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, I am delighted to hear that.
Thank you. I have a question. If you could answer it, please.
Okay, I'll do the best I can.
Okay, I had a burglary in my house on May 25th of this year, and I was wondering if you could give me any information at all about it.
That's a question that Joyce can answer a lot better than I can. I don't have any psychic powers. Joyce does.
You were supposed to be asking Dick a question about stress.
Oh, about stress.
Well, I would say that having your house burglarized creates a certain amount of stress, wouldn't you?
I guess it would.
Yes. I thought that I could ask any question. I didn't know.
Well, you ask whatever you like, Arlene.
If you want me to answer that question, you'll have to contact me offline. But I'd love you to talk to Dick about what stress that brought and how you handled it.
Okay. Recently, I visited my son in Pennsylvania, and I brought down some items to his house that he had when he was here, like baseball cards and things, you know, when he was growing up. And it presented a problem to his wife, didn't like the idea that I brought the stuff down. And I was wondering, what can I do to relieve that kind of stress for herself, for myself, and also for her?
That's very sad. What do you think, Dick?
I think, Arlene, that you're from Brooklyn. Is that right?
No.
Queens?
Long Island.
Oh, I thought you meant it. Yes. Elizabeth said you were from New York City. Okay, I think you have to pay more attention to yourself than to your is that your sister-in-law?
My daughter-in-law.
Okay, but I think you have to pay a lot of attention to yourself. What do you want? Not what do you don't want.
I want a good relationship.
Well, okay.
I want a good relationship with her.
That's a good start, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, how does a good relationship feel?
It feels wonderful. It feels love. You feel love and happiness and joy.
Oh, okay, I like that a lot. Now, do you have any pictures of yourself that might have been taken when you felt happiness and love and joy?
Of course, yes.
Okay. Can you get a hold of one of those pictures and look at it carefully and remember how that felt? And every time you need to have a conversation with this lady or with anybody, as a matter of fact, take 3 deep breaths so you can calm down, take a look at that picture, and do whatever the young woman in that picture would do.
Okay.
No, I fly a little airplane, and I have several thousand hours in the cockpit. And anybody who flies more than a few hours gets into some situations that are difficult, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And the airline pilots say, when you run into a problem, the first thing you do is you wind your watch. And what they mean by that is first thing you do is nothing. You don't go throwing a bunch of switches. You take a few deep breaths and you calm down.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, then once you calm down, you need some direction. And the direction that you want is to feel love and confidence and all of the things that you were describing. And if that picture that you're thinking about shows you when you felt that way, you should be able to bring that feeling back pretty well. And then you just do or say whatever that person in the picture would do or say.
And I'd like to add something if I could.
Yeah.
Arlene, when you get that picture of your strength and of your self-esteem, you might ask yourself a question concerning awareness. What were you aware of that the daughter-in-law was objecting to? She was not objecting to what you were bringing your son-in-law. she was objecting to the jealousy that she felt because you had those kind of shared moments.
And that is something
within her, Arlene, not something that you can own. Dick, do you agree with that?
I would look at it a little differently, Elizabeth, but you know, you and I come at this from two different directions. I like to go directly to the feeling situation. And that's just easier for me, that's all.
Okay.
So you were thrown off when she objected and didn't understand it, and that may have made you feel insecure. So
well,
Dick,
I was very upset. Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. But Dick's suggestion to get back into your strength and not feel upset, but to have awareness is a good one because it will help you through the situation
without destructive emotion.
If I could add a little bit to that, even if you do feel distress, how would the woman in that picture deal with that? You see what I mean?
I was just so taken back by it. I just didn't expect it. I just didn't expect that kind of reaction from someone.
Sure. Yeah, but
so I got very quiet.
See, the way I like to look at something is sometimes you can't help what happens, but you can help how you feel about what happens.
Okay. Yes,
but
you're right.
She did the pilot thing. She got quiet, Dick. That's good.
Yes, it is.
Yes, I did. I got very quiet.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
Yes.
Now you have to take it the next step, you know?
Okay.
And what you have to do,
Do I confront her again and bring it up again, saying, you know, there was a misunderstanding, or should I just let it go,
Misunderstanding. There wasn't a misunderstanding, Arlene. The only thing that you can say, I'm sorry, I hurt your feelings. There was no misunderstanding.
Okay.
Now, she may have had, she certainly came from a reason that you don't understand. And in my work with Louise Hay, I learned that you're never angry at what you think you're angry at. She might have thought that the house was all full of his clutter. She might have been jealous because of the warm moments that he shared with you and doesn't share with her. But there's definitely some kind of a problem. And it's not for you to uncover the problem, right, Dick?
Well, I just think it would be interesting if she took a look at that picture and figured out how the woman in that picture would feel about the situation and do whatever that woman in the picture would do. It's just it's a different way of looking at the same thing.
Yes, that's correct.
But it's still listening to your inner voice, in a sense. It's still listening to your inner instincts, which is what we always cover up. Because we cover it up with fear, we set up a wall, we get quiet and don't respond. Isn't that true, Dick?
Absolutely. But we don't have to leave it at that. And you know, you go in one direction and I go another. And I think that... there's probably all kinds of ways of dealing with this. I like to stay with the feeling situation because that's what's strongest with me.
Arlene, you got quiet, and then what happened? What next?
Nothing. She just didn't talk to me all day, and I didn't talk to her because I didn't want a confrontation.
What do you think about that, Dick?
I wonder what the woman in the picture would do. I keep coming back to that because, to me, there are several statements in the Bible that I really like. One of them comes from the Old Testament. I don't know exactly where, but it's be still and know. And it's a very effective way of saying, you know, you know an awful lot that, as you say, we cover up. So my instinct is to go to try to find out what it is that we already know. And in that sense, the woman in the picture who was feeling strong and happy and loving and everything, that woman knows some things on a visceral level, on a feeling level. And if she follows those understandings, she's going going to do as well as she can do. And it may not be perfect, but it will work.
And I know that it's hard in a group, Arlene. You were with a group. But maybe the first instinct would have been to give her a hug.
Well, if that's the inclination, yeah. Sure.
Right. Okay.
And right. Then let her change things. Good.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
thank you for calling Let's Find Out. I hope we help you in a way, and I'm always available.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, Arlene.
Thank you, and good night. All right, have a nice holiday.
You too.
Bye.
So, Dick, that's interesting. I'm sure many of us have been in that situation. I know I had, I want to share one story with you from one of my clients, and this was in the 80s, when right after I had studied with you, because it's so important, and it was directly because of what I learned at Quiet Decisions. A girl came to me, she was 28, and she had an 8-month-old baby boy, and she was upset because she had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So I started doing a regression with her, and I wanted to try to find out when it first came on the body. I regressed her to 3 years old, and I asked her to feel her mother loving her and sitting on her lap, and she started to cry. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, my mother had a nervous breakdown when I was 3. My brother died of Crim death syndrome, and she was put in a mental institution.
Oh,
instantly came through my body, you are not going to die. Your son is not going to die of crib death syndrome. You are not crazy. You are fine. Now let's go forward in life. Let's go to your son's high school graduation. Let's go to his wedding day. See yourself there. Let's go to holding your first grandchild. Feel that. Feel that. And we went through her future life. And when she came out of her trance, multiple sclerosis had left her body. It was gone.
Well, that's remarkable. You know, I'm sitting here listening to you talk about that, and I don't know if you have told your listeners any of your background or not, but I've read some of your latest book, and you had one tough upbringing.
Yeah, it was not easy. Very
how
unique.
How does that affect what you do?
Oh, well, it is what I am. In fact, when I used to be in trouble and I used to be lonely or be punished for what I didn't do because I was an identical twin, I would go in my room and lay down on my bed and close my eyes and take myself to anywhere I wanted to go. I would go to London. I would go to Paris. I would go to China. I even went to Baghdad and danced in red silk with my little click bells when I was a young girl. And it would take me out of myself, and it would take me into joy, which is what most of us miss. We're always working, getting this right, getting that right, doing this for that, doing that for that. But I think what part of what you might be talking about is the joy of your life and of who you are.
Yeah, right. You just approach it from a different direction.
I do.
Yeah,
I approach it from my training. And,
well,
of course,
good.
I was brought up the New England Baptist and with the born-again Christian mother. That's my training. What can I tell you? So you deal the best you can with what you have.
My lady is from Boston, so I am aware of the New England situation. I brought her down to my hometown of New York. You know, I come from the southern part of Brooklyn, where the palm trees grow, you know, and it's just delightful there. Because in Boston, sometimes the middle of the winter, crosstown bus barks at you. It's terrible.
Oh, I know. So does it in New York. My mother was from New Hampshire, and my father brought her down to New York because he worked for Exxon at Rockefeller Center. So it was just as shocking for her. But what was more shocking, of course, was having two sets of identical twins. And that's a whole different life.
I would imagine.
I mean, I wasn't even called by my name until I was in my 20s. And every single time I was, I'd get scared because it was always because I was being punished.
Oh,
I was twin, the other twin, which twin, the little twin, or the big twin? Which twin are you? Always twinny.
Uh-huh.
Very
it's
interesting
that your background gave you the impetus to do what you do, which is essentially to help people to feel good.
Right, and to find themselves and to feel good and not to lose themselves and other people's desires and to be able to make their own decisions and basically to be emotionally self-reliant.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I said in the beginning. I think we need to pay more attention to ourselves.
Right. Well, right now we have to pay attention to the half hour. We're going to take a break. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and we're on the air with Dick Summer, who is known not only for his voice all over the United States with his wonderful commercials, but he's known for his work, which was Quiet Decisions, a very private, trusting, comfortable place to go when you had some problems that you wanted to work out within you. And this is a call-in show. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call in is 888-429-5471. And I'll be back with Dick Summer right after these messages. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul by Elizabeth Joyce is a perfect holiday gift for Christmas or for any other holiday. This book, Garden, as Elizabeth calls it, and it's one of her favorites, talks about the invisible energy known as Shakti, Chi, the Holy Ghost, is not a time or a thing, but the underlying nature order of the universe, whose ultimate essence is difficult to hold or to understand. The object of spiritual practice is to become one with these energies, to become a tunnel, to become a download effect, or by whatever you choose to call them. To achieve this type of balance is known as the state of being. This book, penned by Elizabeth Joyce, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, is an experience of compassion. It's a desire to help others with these troubling times through light and love shining through the darkness, and to bring love and light to all those who read the words. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is not a fluffy feel-good book. It is a well-written practical guide exploring the groundbreaking philosophy of truly transforming your life. If you are serious about creating change, embracing your birthright with enthusiasm and grace, and creating your very own infinite possibilities, then this book is for you. With all the religious teachers, books, and masters of philosophy, we learn soon that they are one and the same. Spiritual practice is to become one with the soul and harmonize your inner nature in order to achieve that which you have been born to do. When you are walking your path, you innately know this because it becomes effortless. You think about it, you talk about it, you plan it, and you do it. This always involves meditation and the practice of moral practices. This book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, brings the principles which can be discerned by observing nature and can be followed as a practice. Your impact and connection to this energy force brings you a force field containing unlimited possibilities. However you practice it and use it is up to each and one individual soul. This book contains the natural laws of the universe, which will help to open your heart and guide you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is available at Amazon.com and at Elizabeth's website, www.new-visions.com. Pick it up, and you'll keep it by your bedside forever. This is Let's Find Out with Elizabeth Joyce, and now it's time for your cosmic tip. Oh, what now? Here we go. Mercury retrogrades over the holidays. Mercury will turn retrograde on the morning of December 19th, when there will be 5 more shopping days till Christmas. The planet will be in the shadow of retrograde several days before that. Let's make a note of how this affects the people, as this backwards motion brings some or all of the following difficulties, including transportation, slowing down of the mailing system, difficulties in finding what you want, having to return incorrect shipped items, tendencies to rethink what one has thought, cancel plans, changing your mind, difficulty with all sorts of mechanical items, especially telephones and computers, incorrect messages or not receiving them, backed up lines at the airport, or backed up lines period, difficulties in getting somewhere on time, as well as difficulties in all kinds of practical matters. Let's put all this together with the demands of the Christmas holiday season. Unless I miss my guess, during the Yuletide season you will be doing some or all of the following: transporting yourself, sending things by mail, trying to decide what you want to buy and who you want to buy for, coming to all sorts of conclusions of what someone wants or needs as a gift, partying, going to all sorts of places, dealing with all sorts of practical matters as you prepare for various house gatherings and various types of celebrations. Hanukkah begins as well on Christmas Day through January 1st, 2017. So, prepare for some difficulties. Here are some of the recommendations to help you prepare. The experience of Mercury retrograde is very similar to Murphy's Law. If something can go wrong, it will, at the worst possible moment. This was coined during one of the Mercury retrograde phases, I'm sure. It certainly has been meant not only as a warning, but to remind all of us to keep a good sense of humor. Where would all of our comics be if nothing went wrong? Remember I Love Lucy and Ralph Cramden and Ed Norton? Get your cars and trucks checked out in November, not December. You have a few more days yet. Purchase all the tickets and travel and theater plans before December 14th. Leave an extra 15 minutes early so you'll have extra time, and plan extra time between appointments. Do all of your Christmas shopping before you get that car checked. In November, if possible. Send out all the packages and Christmas cards by December 5th. Don't get too tied up in thinking or rethinking the guest list. If you forgot someone, don't worry. They'll get over it. At least they should. Patiently explain to family and friends about Mercury retrograde and how it works. Remember that intention counts. If you can't find what you want, you will find what you need. If you are late with gifts, explain, okay, I'm late with my gift. What do you expect with Mercury retrograde? In ancient Mesopotamia, giving gifts after the holidays, within the 12 days of Christmas, was considered a sign of wisdom and love. If you plan to travel distances to meet relatives, for example, remember this. Mercury retrograde generally indicates that everyone is a bit harried, hurried, and hassled. It indicates that people doing mechanical work, including work on airplanes, will be harried, hurried, and hassled. This doesn't mean that people won't go to work or that you should not travel, but it's certainly not the best time to do so. Follow your intuition as to whether to fly or not. Explain delays and always bring a book to read and some toys for the children. Once you've done that, lean back in your easy chair, light up a Cuban cigar, sip your cognac, and put your feet up. That will bring things into perspective for you. Perspective is just what you need when Mercury is retrograde over the holidays, as well as any other time, since it retrogrades 3 times a year. Here's a list of what is called Mercury's false promises. We must have lunch real soon. Your luggage is checked through. We promise no delays. We've got inflation licked. I'll get right back to you. It's just a standard form. Tomorrow without fail. Pleased to meet you. We are never late. Thank you so much. The check is in the mail. you may have won a prize. Your secret's safe with me. It's wrinkle-free, and it won't crumble or peel. This is a real good deal. Strictly by the book. What's fair is fair. I'm not a crook. We'll send someone right out. Now, this won't hurt a bit. It's finger-licking good. I'll be right there. He's in a meeting now. The coat's a perfect fit. Strictly fresh today. Service with a smile. I love you, darling, till I die. We'll keep your name on file. So walk right during these next 3 weeks, December 19th through January 8th, and be thankful that it's all over on Little Christmas. Wishing all of you a happy holiday season and wonderful 2017. And now, let's get back to Let's Find Out with Elizabeth Joyce. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. Next week, December 11th, my guest will be David Cowan. David is a spiritual coach, nutritional consultant, and a quantum healing coach. From early in his life, David's interest has been in understanding the breadth and depth of the human experience, with all of its variances and extremes. His interest has led him to study psychology, and David felt that in order to best understand this world and the human condition, he needed to understand the mind. It was clear to him that any positive changes for people or society must begin on the level of each person's experience within the mind. What he now recognized is that this is the primary level of causation. We're going to have a wonderful time, and we're going to talk about how our thoughts are things, and what we think is what we bring to ourselves. David has authored 3 books, and the website to check him out first is www.bluesunenergies.com. That's www.bluesunenergies.com. So don't miss this wonderful show, David Cowan, on December 11th. I'll see you then. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out. An honored guest come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Joyce back with Let's Find Out. And of course, that was Perry Como singing Silver Bells. And I picked that tonight because my guest tonight is Dick Summer. And this song is full of joy and smiles, which is where we need to be when we're in a a month that can be problematic for some people and stressful and can make you feel empty or make you feel lonely or make you wish that you were back in the past. Part of the reason I picked that song was because my uncle's favorite, and he always came up every year. He was my father's brother, and he came from Washington, D.C., and his favorite song was Silver Bells. So this is for Uncle Fred. So, Dick, what do we do in the middle of the holidays when we aren't really with family? What can we do to bring that joy and those smiles?
I think you you put everything down. You know, that's the first step.
That's good.
Wind the watch. Because I guess Willie Shakespeare said, "To thine own self be true. And if thou dost, thou canst not be false to any man." And if you are not false, pardon me, Adam, it always surprises me when I get a cold and my wife doesn't. Because if I were a little bug, I would much rather take up residence in her body than in mine. But you know, my mind works in devious ways, as you know. So I think the first thing you do is understand, you know, your feeling. I have a podcast. It's at dickandtick@dicksummer.com/podcast. And every year I collect stories, but not just about Christmas, about your favorite winter holiday, which would include Hanukkah and solstice and, you know, whatever else. Kwanzaa, you know. And when you collect stories like that, I save them. Let me tell you a little story. I know that we don't have a lot of time, so it won't take much time. But the year that I met my lady Wonder Wench, I was on the air up in Boston at WBZ. And we were out in the Boston Common, which is a park in the middle of Boston itself. And it was a remote trailer we had there. And I had collected these stories from listeners, and I'd read them on the air. And what I promised was that we would read a whole bunch of these stories and then burn them at the end of the show, because we're on the air Christmas Eve. And so I said, you know, come on down and you know, have some fun with us. So about 9 o'clock, there were quite a few people there. About 9:30, there were a lot of people there. About 10 o'clock, it was getting uncomfortable. About 10:30, there was a traffic jam. About 11 o'clock, a cop came into the place and he wanted to know what was going on. And I told him, and I thought, boy, I'm going to get in trouble. I didn't have permission to do this. And but he was almost like right out of Central Casting. He was Irish cop. He just looked at me, smiled. He said, "Merry Christmas." So about 11:30, the place was jammed. And I took the mic outside, and I read a bunch of these letters. And we had a little bonfire going in the trash can. And as we got to a little before midnight, it started to snow. And then everybody sang Silent Night.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
Can you imagine? There must have been. I gotta guess there were 1,000 people there, just standing close enough together to hold hands and keep each other warm, singing Silent Night.
Boy, that's really beautiful. What an energy and what a oneness for everybody, just in harmony with a very special feeling that comes during the holidays, be it whatever one. The word believe. Know that there's magic and know that you can feel something that you cannot touch or see. And that's that inner feeling of love. And that is so important. That's what Christmas is all about. And in its own way, it can be very healing, as we've discussed tonight, Dick. You know that when somebody can regain that openness of the heart, a lot of things leave the body and joy comes in.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. My dad was a church organist, and he used to take the choir around on Christmas. He chartered a bus. It was a big choir, and we'd stand out in the street corners and sing. And well, I'm from Brooklyn, so you know, all kinds of people there. Some Christians, some Muslims, some Jews.
It was eclectic.
Yeah, but they all came out to sing, and it was a wonderful feeling. And I don't think they were thinking about, you know, Christ, or they certainly weren't thinking about shopping. They were thinking about standing there together.
And just being together, an identity that made them feel close.
Yeah, right.
A feeling that is untouchable. It's wonderful. I do call it the magic and the wisdom of us. We all have it, but we lack sharing it. I would like to see everybody start coming together again in that way, because it's a wonderful way to be. Wonderful right. feeling. And it's rare, Dick. You can't buy it. That was a spontaneous moment, nothing that you planned or thought through, correct?
Sure.
And sure. That's what makes it magical.
Right. You know, I Santa Claus is a connector to me. Mm-hmm. He gets the rap for all of the terrible Christmas commercials and, you know, and all that kind of thing. But when you think about it, he sees when you're sleeping. He sees you when you're awake. You know, don't pout. You know, mm-hmm. stop whining.
Oh, I love that one.
And,
so you know, people
enjoy yourself. Smile. Be happy, you know. Stick your finger up your nose and climb up a chimney.
What a wonderful way to solve a problem sometimes. Well, really is.
Yeah, sure. So
anyway, I'm thrilled that you joined us tonight, the first Sunday in December. And I'm pleased that we had a call in. We'll do more. I'd like you to come back towards March. And we'll do a spring cleaning and have you come on.
Well, that'd be wonderful.
Again, give us your website and tell us about Quiet Hands a little bit. We have 2 seconds yet.
Okay. Well, Quiet Hands is a spoken word CD, and it's distilled from the things that you took from the class. A lot of experience in terms of hypnotherapy and just some common sense. You know, people talk about self-help and self-help CDs and books. And actually, you know, if it's a self-help book, that's impossible. You know, you're either helping yourself or you're not. So these are kind of observational things. But I found that people can connect with them. And when you do, they tend to have some positive effects.
You know what I love about it? It's not directed towards anything you have to do. It's not directed towards a belief system. It's simply fun that every human being has within them, and it really can make you feel great.
Well,
it gives everybody their own private memories.
That's
and
good.
Their
Thank
own
you.
Joy. That's true.
You should write copy for commercials for me.
Oh, anytime. Quiet Hands with Dick Sommer. Thank you, Dick, for coming. And now you're going to hear a little bit from Quiet Hands. We're getting ready for the meditation, and we have one of the cuts from Quiet Hands. And it's called Hurt Healing, which we thought was perfect for tonight for anybody that might be feeling a little sad and melancholy as we begin the holiday season. Thank you for listening. Next week, we're having David Cowan, and he's going to be talking about how to raise your self-esteem as well. So that'll be a fun show. Thank you for listening. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Good night.
You just wish you could put everything down, just everything. Even the worries about people you really care about. You know, you don't really want to get rid of them, but just for a minute, it would be a good thing to be able to hand those worries to somebody else just for a minute or so. And you can right now. You can begin to feel lighter, physically lighter, and if you stretch a little bit and just take a few deep breaths and just let the little lines between your eyebrows soften. You may let your eyes close for a minute if you like. You don't have to watch those things you've put down either, because the quiet hands have picked them up and are taking care of them. As a matter of fact, let yourself feel one of the quiet hands taking your hand now, just holding your hand a little bit. It's a nice feeling to have the touch of a good, strong, caring hand in yours. You've given other people a hand for so much of the day, so much of your life. And now you can just feel this strong, quiet hand holding your hand. And you can begin to feel that hand that's holding your hand get larger and larger and larger, until you can begin to understand that that hand is actually holding your whole body gently, caressingly, comforting. And now those hands getting even larger and larger and making a safe and comfortable place for you to feel that you can put everything down just for this moment and still be protected without having to protect yourself, in the comfort of these strong and caring quiet hands.